Employment in the country's non-farm formal sector grew by 87,000 in the fourth quarter, with most of the increases registered in business services and trade, while the largest decreases were experienced in the construction and mining sector. Labour consultant Tony Healy joins us in studio now to discuss what the print suggests for the future of the labour market. Thanks so much, Tony, for joining us this evening. So, first increase in employment in 6 months, the number of employed up 87,000 in the fourth quarter. At the end of the day, is this really anything to get excited about, though?
Alicia, I don't think so. And unfortunately, I don't think so. The fact of the matter is we've been seeing these kinds of up 100,000, down 100,000 every quarter for a number of years. And we've had a very high unemployment for many, many years. It's not really a new phenomenon. I think we're faced with the high unemployment that we are for very different reasons that we were faced with high unemployment years ago, but we've been sitting with 20-25% unemployment for the better part of 30 years.
Absolutely. What's particularly concerning at the moment, though, is the kind of structural shifts that are happening within that unemployment scenario. So, yes, we've seen gains filtered through. And even if you're looking at full-time employment, I mean, that's up 50,000 over the fourth quarter period. But the primary sectors of the economy are taking hefty knocks. Construction down 18,000, mining down 7,000, manufacturing losing 3,000 jobs over the period, and therein lies, I guess, bulk of the significance.
And those are sectors where the barrier to entry for labour is relatively low. So it means that when those three sectors, as you mentioned, are not in song, then the economy, especially the unemployment numbers, feel it very hard. You know, there are other areas that are more that have a better outlook. For example, hospitality. But again, when you look at this survey, mm-hmm. Those kinds of green shoots get lost. For example, it's a sample of eight sectors, and it's easy to have a homogenous group of mining and manufacturing. But then you've got, for example, another referred to as trade, which has such diverse sectors as hospitality, restaurants, retail, wholesale, and interestingly enough, repair of motor vehicles. So when you look at that number, it's hard to know, which one of the subsets has actually performed well or poorly.
Whichever way you look at it, though, I mean, it's sustainability of any positive trend that's being brought into question in a very big way, because the risk of even further job cuts are more rife with load shedding, having increased, seeing businesses' costs rise, and in some quarters, businesses halt their operations altogether.
Well, that's right. There are very few sectors and there are very few businesses that aren't touched negatively by load shedding. There are so many other factors that come into play when it comes to job losses and job security and employment statistics. We need growth to create jobs. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. When we're hovering around below or just above 1%, we're going to remain in the current scenario. We need to be 5% and north of 5% for job growth to really start to take off. And other areas, policy certainty, the outage, the energy issue, in my opinion, an overregulated labour law. Mm-hmm. Regime. And other things, we heard the German Commerce of Industry even having something to say about BEE and saying, we're concerned, why should we invest when we have this kind of regulation, which we don't have elsewhere in other developing countries.
It's something that threatened to hobble, along with a whole lot of bureaucratic red tape, the YES initiative as well, where we're looking at the Youth Employment Service coming to the fore as a job creation initiative, creating 3,360 work opportunities for young people in 5 months already, but targeting 1 million job opportunities over a three-year period. What kind of impact do you see an initiative having, like this having, in the context we've just outlined?
Look, I think if it creates one job, it's done, it's added value. The latest numbers I saw, the so-called job experiences or work experiences in the Yes for Youth program is just over 12,000. But those are work experiences. They're not necessarily jobs. So that's laudable. But it's a far way off from what the lofty goals were, as honourable as they were. And it really is. You could contrast it even with the NDP. The NDP was had lofty goals, had honourable intent, but we couldn't execute for XYZ reasons. So as honourable as these kind of initiatives, such as the Yes for Youth one is, in the circumstances where the economic outlook is so bleak, it's hard to see that really adding much value.
So can we extrapolate from that and say your confidence levels are sitting pretty low when it comes to the 11,446 job commitments this initiative has seen, you know, over the period, actually translating into real job opportunity?
Well, I think, and I have to say, unfortunately, yes. We all wanted to succeed. You know, we see, and we work across a very diverse cross section of commerce and industry, and we're seeing businesses under severe strain. We're seeing no let up in retrenchments. We've got the added factor of minimum wage legislation. We've got all the issues we've been discussing this evening, and you know, employers need to be in a position to be able to take on a youngster in a youth a Yes for Youth type program. And be able to, because it's an investment. Mm-hmm. And if they're already struggling in terms of their returns, then that becomes a bridge too far very often for them.
And I guess that pointing to the rigidity within our entire labor law system as a whole, that needs to adapt, I guess, to you know, the kind of flexibility that the current economic scenario requires.
Well, yes, and we have a very inflexible labour market. Some would argue that that's not necessarily the case, but the fact of the matter is, and we often get tied up in labour disputes themselves. You know, the CCMA receives close on 1,000 cases, labour disputes a day. That's time consuming. That takes a lot of resources, and there are hidden employment costs and a number of hoops to jump through in terms of statutory obligations relating to employment. So that makes the whole process that much more difficult.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Tony. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that labour consultant, Tony Healy.